You're listening to the Monica Cade Podcast, a conscious approach to all things health and lifestyle, empowering you to be your best self in each moment. Because the truth is, that's all we ever have. From conscious lifestyle tips that'll help you make better choices in all areas of your life, through to interviews with game-changing entrepreneurs, creative minds, and thought leaders. These conversations move me. They're changing the world, and I hope they impact yours. So, without further ado, let's dive into this week's conversation. Hello and welcome to the Monica Cade Podcast, episode 117. Today my guest is Emmy Lou McCarthy. She is an accredited fashion stylist, makeup artist, TV producer and presenter, and host. You may know her from her Instagram, Emmy Lou Loves. She's built a fiercely loyal tribe on Instagram, from cooking demos to makeup artistry, building your confidence and chasing your dreams. She knows how to tell a story that resonates with her community, and she loves her community right back. So if you are a fan of Emmy Lou's, you are going to love our conversation today because it was raw, real. We laughed. We had some really tender, quiet moments in our conversation. And yeah, I think you're really going to love the journey that we took on this conversation. So let's dive in now.
All right, Emmy Lou, thank you for joining me today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. Okay, so I thought we could, so some of the listeners obviously are going to be familiar with your story, and then some of my listeners probably may not be. So I just wanted to give them a bit of context and a bit of background. But could you just tell us a little bit about your life growing up? Like, who did you want to be when you were a kid?
Oh my goodness, no one's ever asked me that before. So I think growing up as a kid, I looked up to people like Cyndi Lauper. I loved Cyndi Lauper. I loved Whitney Houston, Janet Jackson. I loved Paul Simon. You know, yeah. I thought he was magnificent. I remember just being so in love with his album, Graceland, and knowing all of the words off by heart and reading the back of the album because that's where all the words are. So I, weirdly, I know they're all musicians and I am not a musician, and anyone that knows me knows that I can't hold a tune either. But I loved that. Do you know what I mean? I always wanted to be performing. And I used to do a lot of dancing as well. So I think that's what, who I would aspire to be, or who I remember aspiring to be, and also feeling inspired when I would watch their live concerts on TV and think, oh my God, it was so cool.
So how did you get into dance? Was it something like your parents encouraged, or?
Well, they encouraged it because I encouraged it. I don't think they had any choice. So I would always, you know, my parents would always have kind of parties and people over, and the first thing I would do is get all the kids together and, you know, like create, like choreograph a routine and be like, right, we're doing this. And or I would choreograph skits as well. I would love like taking the piss out of like A Perfect Match or whatever. And I would do funny skits around shows that I'd seen on TV. And I'm talking like I was only about 7 or 8 years old. When I would do these things, and so they naturally saw that, you know, one, I do have rhythm. Like when it came to dancing, I loved it. I wasn't shy, and I just wanted to be out there performing.
I have to say, you definitely have moves, because I watched you on New York, and I was like, you are awesome, because I used to dance when I was younger as well, and then I haven't danced in years, and then probably a few months back I just had this urge to start moving my body.
Me too. I'm 40 years old and all of a sudden I want to move again.
Yes, and it's so much fun.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
And I think you realize too, one thing I remember when I was young and dancing, I went to Johnny Young Talent School, right? And Johnny Young actually came to our school, because it was a franchise back then, and he came to the school and he pointed me out. We performed in front of him and he goes, you have got natural talent, but you need to hold your head up and look out at the audience, because I wouldn't look at the audience. And so I had a natural shyness, which I didn't really realize. People always said that I was bubbly, but when it came to performing, I wouldn't look out, especially when I was dancing. And you know, sort of time goes on, I don't dance anymore, don't perform anymore, partied really hard, had a few children. And then when I went back to New York, so the film clip or the clip that you're referring to, that was only my sixth dance lesson in 25 years, you know. So it was my first time getting back into it. I was only there for 2 weeks. And when I look at that, I realize how much confidence you have as a woman and how much that actually helps you pull off a dance move. Yeah. It's almost not, you know, I mean, I'm not flexible. I'm 40-year-old hips that can't move like they did. I honestly haven't danced in a rehearsal studio or worn a leotard in... what, 25 years, something like that. And it was about the fact that I wanted it and I wanted to perform and I felt sexy and I was having so much fun. And and that is what really translates in performances more than anything.
Yeah.
And that's what people are drawn to. And so once you realize that you've got that now because you're a bit older and you almost don't care anymore.
Yeah, totally. What's interesting about you're saying is when we're really young, and I'm just like recognizing this now, when we're really young, we have that fierceness, that fun, that play, like I'm doing this because I really love it. And then there's that middle, like teenage years, young 20s, and then it's funny how then you step into that probably. Well, I don't, can't speak for everyone, but yeah, you start to step into that in your 30s and then like, yeah, you kind of go back in a full circle almost.
You do. And, you know, as if we can hold on to that or even just a mixture of that childlike innocence and that purity that we have, that something is just so much damn fun.
Mm.
And then, you know, combine it with the courage that we... I think we grow as we get older. We learn it, but I think we grow it as well. And I always, you know, describe courage and confidence as muscles that we you know, nurture and we build out and we kind of tease out. And then all of a sudden, they're a huge muscle. I always think of it as like a quadricep muscle, you know, like the biggest muscle in your body. But it doesn't start off like that, you know. And we squat little and then we get bigger and bigger. And it's the same thing. And if we can combine what we learn over the years with that art of just doing something for fun and for joy, oh, you have the most amazing package right there for happiness.
Yeah, of course. Have you always known that you wanted to have kids?
Yeah, actually I did. I've always wanted to have children. I think because I grew up in a family of five. And it was, you know, a crazy household and we all kind of, you know, moved out quite young and you know, some would say that it's turbulent. You know, definitely there were parts of it that was. But there was also so many amazing times, you know, growing up with brothers and sisters and a full household. And for me, I think, you know, there was that fantasy too of wanting to be a mum and, you know, cook for my kids and shower them in love. And it's funny because when I had children, I realized how little I knew about giving love, you know, and how much I had to learn, you know, and it's taken, well, my eldest is nine, so I have a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old. And I'd have to say it's taken a good 7 years. Babies, no problem. Newborn, totally nailed it. Didn't feel overwhelmed by any of that point. The breastfeeding, anything, just felt, it felt so primitive.
Yeah.
When the children started to get to the ages of 2 and 3 and had personalities and needed more communication skills, that's where I really saw me take a dive in who I was and really start on a massive learning curve. And it's only been in the last 18 months that I can sit back and feel quite proud of who I am as a mother. Before that, I struggled. And you know, for anyone that knows me knows if I can't do something, I will find someone that will teach me or I'll outsource it. And I think that's one of my greatest strengths is that I will always say, hey, I'm not very good at that. Let's work on that. And for me, oh, I think Sage was about 6 years old, five or 6 years old, and I was struggling big time and I had to find help, like in family counseling, in all sorts of ways, kinesiology, lots of things. And even before then, because when I was pregnant with Vita, I was quite depressed as well, but I found my parenting was really, it was shaking me up. I was like, I don't want to be this screaming mess. And I you know, screamed at my kids. And I'm expecting them to understand, you know, I'm expecting them to understand these things. They're children. I'm expecting them to give me time, you know, and it really, there was a shift and it's been shifting for quite a few years now. And then there was another big shift around Christmas last year where I was like, I'm not making these children feel like they're a priority to me. And they are. Obviously, I love my career. I love what I do. I've got to be very focused on that and sometimes be brutal, but that doesn't mean it has to come at a sacrifice to how my children think they're showing up for me.
Yeah. How do you navigate that point of you know, say you've got two things kind of vying for your attention, mm. and it's like I recently had another conversation, another interview where we were talking about parenting, and it's like just being in that moment with the child at mm. that point in time. But often these to-do lists are in the back of your mind. You're mm. like, I got to get all this done. How do you, for yourself, navigate it?
Well, now it's a lot better in the sense that to-do list, I've realized, doesn't actually go away.
Mm.
Just like a mum at home that, you know, and people always say this to me, they're like, you're so busy because you work and you're at mm. home. I am no busier than a full-time stay-at-home mum.
Mm.
That shit is hard. Yeah. I've done it for a long time. So I'm no busier than that. It's just I'm away a little bit. I have to do a little bit more hair and makeup. Like, honestly, that's the only difference, really, you know. And I do cram a lot into my day, but at the same time, I understand it's a choice.
Mm.
And so that to-do list is never going to go.
Mm.
So if you can take the overwhelm away from that and understand, hey, it's still going to be there. Make sure it's written down or make sure it's documented somewhere, because you'll be able to tick it off.
Yeah.
But I think we get kind of swept up in the, oh, my God, we got to do that. Take that away for a second. Mm. Be in the moment for a second. That's not going anywhere. Your kids aren't going anywhere. Like, it's okay. And then soon as you can do that and start to master, it takes a little bit of practice.
Mm.
But then soon as you can start to do that, you find that the to-do list and then being present in the moment, they just kind of find their own balance in a way. You know, and you know what? There are times where you won't. There are times where you fuck it up completely and you will push your kids aside.
Yeah.
You know, you will push your kids aside, or you'll drop the ball at work, or something will have to give. There will be no point where it all aligns perfectly and you have to drop the ball, because how else will you pick it up with fresh hands? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, people always think that that's a bad thing. No, it's not. Drop it for a second. Give yourself a rest.
Yeah.
Fuck it all up and then pick it all back up again with some fresh eyes, some fresh non-tired arms, and it feels so much better.
I like what you're saying. I feel like it's like in that dropping of the ball, whether it's a parent or non-parent, it's like we judge that moment where we fall short of something.
Yeah.
And it's so hard. It's a hard way to live.
Exactly. And half of our problems stem from our own self-judgment.
I know, isn't it crazy?
Yeah, like, you know, if we just drop that from the equation and from the conversation, holy shit, we'd be living a great life. If we stop thinking about what other people thought of us and actually think about internally what you want.
Yeah.
You know, internally what I wanted was to be a better mum.
Yeah.
You know, what I wanted was to communicate better with my children, to make them to show them that they are loved, and what I could see was not happening.
Yeah.
So drop everything else away and everyone else's judgments and have my own, but more even that, you know, you get into that judging of it. No, just be brutally honest and call a fact, a spade and go, okay, this is what's happening. This is what I want. This is how I'm going to make it better.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you will get to that point so much quicker. You'll get to the solution so much quicker.
How has it felt like opening up your family life to social media?
I guess because it happened so organically and the kids kind of come in and out of it. You know, I mean, you know, no one looks at me and goes, I'm a mummy blogger or something like that. There's nothing wrong with that. I have plenty of friends that are. But no one kind of looks at that, because it's very much you see me as my career. No one looks at me and says she has a fashion label.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bit of everything.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel like there was that one point where it opened up my whole family life. So it's totally fine. It feels quite natural to all of us.
Yeah.
As the kids get older, they have, you know, they have their own voice too, where and I have to be really mindful of that. If they don't want to be filmed, they will tell you straight away.
Yeah.
And that does not go up. Do you know what I mean? Like, get the camera down, put the phone down, Mum.
Mm.
And you know what I love is that I have kids that are vocal like that.
Yeah.
And they don't have to show anything on social media. They don't have to show up for me on there. They have to film me sometimes, especially in the beginning. They would film me a lot because I didn't have a cameraman, you know, so they would film me a lot. And I love that because I think that's showing them, you never know, like Sage, you know, he's so creative when he holds my phone and he films me. He doesn't just film me and hold the phone. He'll go in and scope into the rice that I'm cooking or pan away to something else as I'm finishing. And that's pretty cool and pretty neat for a 9-year-old. And you don't know where that's going to take them.
Mm.
It's like putting on the Paul Simon record for me when I was younger, or my dad showing me a Cyndi Lauper concert on TV. you don't know what that does for a child, or in which way I'm going to digest that and how I'm going to use that inspiration. And so I quite like that. And I love seeing Camellia and Vita when they cook, and, you know, when they're cooking with me, they don't have to be cooking and talking to a camera, but the way that they've got a dialogue now, that they can multitask and cook and have their head held up and that kind of thing, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah, totally. And I think they're in such a different world as well from when we grew up. You know, the world's changing, and these skills that they're learning, they're probably going to experience careers that aren't even, we don't even know about yet, you know?
Exactly. And I think that's, you know, that's a really good point, is the skills that they learn. You know, we can learn all of the new technology stuff, like your phone. There's going to be, imagine how many apps that are going to be from 20 years from now, right? And all of that is really good. But a lot of people always say, you know, how did you get to this point? Like, what do you think? And for me, it's having that old school skill set too. So the work ethic, the understanding of what entertainment is like. And that's where that little point of difference kind of steps in for me, or what I've found is that I always did dancing and musical theatre and those kind of things, you know. And so, you know, to have old school work ethic, entertaining skills, that kind of stuff, if you want to get into the world that I'm in, you still need those. You still need traditional media. You just may use digital media to get where you're you want to be.
Yeah, totally. How does it feel? Do you always feel inspired to post on social media? Or do you, like, what's your relationship with it?
Oh, I think, see, it's funny. My relationship isn't with social media. When you say that, I don't see social media. I see a whole bunch of fucking cool people like that. And it's weird. Like, so when I post, it's because, oh my God, I want to tell everyone that, you know, because it's become such a tight unit, you know. Before, when I first started 3 years ago, it was really about practicing the art of communication on my phone. Like, honestly, that's what it was. And it was, I wanted to be a TV presenter. So it was about, hey, I'm going to do this in one take and it's going to be great. And I'm going to express everything I need to do, but do it in 30 seconds and get it out there. So I was really all about getting a certain skill to a level that I thought was deemed worthy enough for media, right? And now it's very different. It's really just a, I want to share this. I want to talk to you about this. You know, even something as simple as, hey, I got these bananas. No, that there's no tip with that. There's no, we're not on special. It's just like I'm stuck under a tray. How cool is this? You know, because that's kind of exciting. Because, you know, like, I don't know, little shit like that happens and it's fun. And so... And that really does show the difference now. It's like there's no information in that.
Yeah.
It's fun to share it, you know, because we all know what it's like when we get excited over something that we wanted and someone's given us a secret. For those of you at home that don't understand what I'm talking about, I am a reduced to clear queen. I love reduced to clear fruits and stuff like that and baking with it. And I asked for some reduced to clear bananas. She didn't have any that were at a special price, but she did have the speckly ones, but perfect for baking, and she showed me this secret tray, which I got incredibly excited about.
And and it was very funny.
It was, wasn't it?
Is why I'm sitting here laughing.
It's funny, isn't it? It's like, why am I watching this girl squatting on a fruit market floor scavenging for bananas, you know?
So good. I guess that's the thing, like, first of all, I love your take on it because I've not thought about it in that way, in the sense that you're like, no, I just want to tell all these people about this, you know, it's just like talking to your community. And for some reason in my mind, that's not how I've seen it, but it's already shifted the focus so much for me. And then what I love about it is that it's so like organic. It's just real life. You know, it's like, I think that's what's so beautiful about what you do through social media is you're so personable, you know, you, it's like, we know who you are. We just, we see all sides of you. And I think that's what people find endearing, or they relate, because you're not this one-sided thing that we often see with other, you know, people in the limelight. We see this one-dimensional person, or like, I can never be like that because of X, Y, Z.
And that's the thing. You can be whatever you bloody well want to be. And you can be anything you want to be on any given day. And a lot of people, you know, will say, oh, you're chopping and changing. Okay, fair enough. There does have to be a certain amount of discipline, certain amount of drive and focus if you want to, I don't know, chase after your dream or get a certain result. That doesn't happen. You don't go to a gym once and get the result that you want. Trust me, I've tried. You can go for 2 weeks and you still don't get the result you want. I've tried that too. But you you do need to have that certain amount of discipline when it comes to that. But at the same time, if you're doing something and it's not working for you, there you can stop at any point. And it's the same with, you know, if you feel like getting glammed up for the day, get glammed up. But if the next day you just want to look like absolute death, love it. Love the shit out of it no matter what it is.
Yeah.
And I think that, that people enjoy that because they can see that it is just the ebbs and flow of everyday life, which we all have. I am no different to anybody else.
Yeah, I love that as well because I know that there are some days where I'm like, love to wash my hair, have it looking nice, love putting on a good lipstick, and then there are other days I'm like, oh, I don't even want to touch my face, you know, and just be like neutral.
And there's no, you know, the other thing too is when we do get dressed up, right, we have the lip and we have the sexy dress, you know, our voice changes a little bit.
Totally.
We have a swagger. Like, I know when I talk to certain people, like, all of a sudden I'm fucking perking up and I think I do it when I talk to, like, Tim O'Matic, actually, because, you know, he's an R&B artist. As soon as I talk to him, my hands are flowing and I'm like, Jesus, girl, like, just fucking chill out. And you can't help it. And that's okay because we're just excited. We're just in the moment. And it's the same with, you know, when your hair's blow-waved and it's out. I don't care what anyone says. Your personality is so remotely different to when it's in a mum bun and just at home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think there's, I think that as well, enjoying that moment, that is all about being present.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. You have this beautiful quote on, you put on your social media and it really hit home for me. And I will say it now, but you said chasing your dreams is hard. Not chasing your dreams is also hard.
Yeah.
Choose your hard.
Yeah.
And I loved it, and you replied because of its simplicity. I would love to know what's it like behind the scenes for you chasing your dream? You know, you are doing it so publicly. Yeah. What are some of the hard things for you that you come up against?
I think for me it's people doing the wrong thing. And I am very, very adamant that I won't ever hang anyone out to dry.
Yeah.
I have a very fierce audience.
Mm.
And if I was to even share remotely some of the shit that people try and pull on me, that could really do some damage.
Yeah.
So that sometimes is hard because I'm a human.
Sure.
I want to come out swinging sometimes. and I also, I'm also very much an underdog, you know, person. So it's like, if that's not right, I want to fucking say it's not right.
Yeah.
But I've got to shut my mouth and keep going. Obviously, if, you know, if someone's getting hurt or whatever, that's a different point, you know. But we're just talking about business here.
Yeah.
So business, I have to weigh it up and go, okay, well, right, I'm the only one getting affected by this. If I was to do X, Y, Z, they're going to really get affected by this.
Mm.
No one needs to get affected by this. I'm going to swallow that and I'm going to leave it. I'll eat the shit and I'll leave it for another day.
Mm.
I'll learn from that and I won't do business with you anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and so that you find that I've been lucky enough to have incredible support within the professional industry. So I could only imagine what goes on out there.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be far worse than anything that's happened to me. So sometimes I feel like that can be a hard one to take because it feels incredibly lonely.
Mm.
I am a one-person band.
Mm.
I have an e-comms manager, but I don't, and she just takes care of my online store.
Mm.
So I don't have a publicist. I don't have management.
Mm.
And so when normally what happens in the industry, when you get to this point, you would have a manager go in and go, hey, you can't do that. That's actually wrong. And they're the bad person.
Yeah.
So what happens now is I go in and now I'm a little bit more experienced. Mm. I understand, you know, how it works. And I say, you can't do that. That's not right. And then straight away, she's a diva or she's that. And it's like, no, mate, I'm a businesswoman and I'm smart and I'm 40 years old and you're not going to fucking treat me like that.
Mm.
But it's hard. That's still hard to face. I don't care what that's hard.
Yeah.
So I think that that's probably been one of the hardest things over the last year to not to deal with. It's quite easy to deal with. It's over within it's just a conversation. And I'm someone who I am very much a, on the, I'll get on the phone. and mm-hmm. I will sort it out straight away face to face. I don't let things fester. I certainly don't let things blow up. I just want to have some really great conversations and get things sorted straight away. Mm-hmm. I will ink it out on an email straight afterwards so that we're all on the same page and that I've learned that. The power of an email is very, very important, folks.
Yes.
Never, ever fucking forget that.
Otherwise, it's a lesson you will remember.
Yeah, it's a lesson you do remember, and I had to learn that earlier on. And so it's really about understanding how I want to do business and how I want people to talk about how I do business. Mm. And that's really important to me. I like to be liked. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and so that works well in some sense, but other times you lend yourself to getting walked all over because you do like to be liked. And so it's really... That has been one of the hardest things, is learning how to balance that and go, okay, I won't be walked all over. I don't have to be an arsehole as well. And I think you do push and pull, and you have to find that medium ground. I think sometimes I've gone fiery and gone, okay, no, you don't have to sort it out like that. And it's that real sweet spot now of understanding that and understanding, hey, this is how I roll, this is how I operate, I'm very proud of how I operate. The general feedback is everybody loves my work and they love working with me. So if you get those one or two bad eggs, I now know and I have that confidence to go, okay, that's actually a bad egg. Yeah. That just wasn't for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel that you've naturally had a thick skin to begin with, or do you feel like you've developed that through some of the experiences?
I've always been resilient.
Yeah.
Resilient, yes, but more resourceful. So, you know, if someone tells me, oh, you can't get in here, well, then I'll find a back way to get in. You know, and so the resourcefulness in me has always been, I feel, the stronger counterpart to the resilience. And resilience, yes, I will pick myself up 1,000 times, you know, but... sometimes that picking up can be hard, you know, and you can, just because you pick yourself up doesn't mean you're steady on your feet.
Yeah.
So true. You know, so you pick yourself up and you're still wobbly as fuck, you know, and you're just you're fragile. Those moments are definitely, for me, the hugest signs of resilience, because at any point that's when you can really give up. Yeah. Or, you know, you can stay in that fragility for a long time, which is beautiful, but that's where you start to slowly build it back up again.
Yeah, I can relate. I know in the times where I feel like life's tested me, or, you know, I've gone through certain things, it's those moments that, even though it felt so raw, to just like keep taking that one step. And I always just think to myself, just take one, take one and keep going.
Keep swimming. That's all you have to do. And sometimes you have to say that. I remember I went through years of having to say that sentence to myself, just keep swimming. It's okay. And getting up every morning, especially, you know, God, I've had, you know, certain bouts of depression, and one was when I'd had my miscarriage, and then 8 weeks later fell pregnant with Vita, who's now 4 years old. And I'd had that miscarriage at 4 months pregnant, so it's quite, you know, into the pregnancy.
Yeah.
And I personally feel it was more hormonal imbalance, you know, as well. And then the anxiety of being pregnant and not wanting to lose that baby, having the two kids under 3 years old, or however old they were, they're very close together, and Aaron working away. And I was hugely depressed for that 9 months, 9 months of being pregnant. And every day it would be an absolute challenge to get up, be a mum, show up. And I would just do it in any way that I could, and use any props that I needed to just get me to the next day, and to the next day, and even sometimes to the next hour, to the next meal. And that's where, you know, I try to talk about it without going down a dark tunnel, you know, because unfortunately with stories, I mean, you've seen how many stories I post. I can post like 100 a day, right? That's still only actually like 13, 14 minutes. It's not actually a lot.
Yeah.
So they're only 15-second stories. And so sometimes I find that really hard to navigate. How can I remind my community about these dark days? Because I swear to God, there's so many of them going through it. But you've only got a certain amount of time on stories, and you can't bring them down this dark channel without bringing them out into the light. So it's a very hard one to talk about. And that's why we tend to save those for the lives and the really DMs for the live Instagrams, because we've got a whole hour to talk about it and arc through whether it's my journey or how we're going to relate it back to them. But yeah, it is important for people to realize that it's okay to struggle from minute to minute.
Mm.
But there will be light, but you just have to keep swimming.
I know. I've gone through my own issues with mental health in the past as well, so I can relate to aspects of your story for sure.
Yeah.
I think in those times, it is, there was one particular post you did where you did talk about the darkness, and you just outlined that it was like finding whatever that one thing was to help you get through it, whether it was, you know, kinesiology one day, something else another day, mm-hmm. you know, and sometimes it's not the most, I don't know, sometimes I think you talked about even eating ice cream at one point.
Circuit breakers. So yeah. I talk about circuit breakers and that was for me circuit breakers. So eating chocolate, and I was quite overweight too at the time, eating chocolate, something sweet in your mouth. I mean, that's when you're at a bloody low point, a cold shower, jumping into the ocean, going for a walk, calling a friend, crying, you know, sitting on, nothing like sitting on the floor of your shower and fucking bawling till you have not one tear left in you. That shit is a circuit breaker, and you will feel completely depleted and tired and exhausted, like you have nothing else. But this is the thing. A lot of people get a bit scared with that, like, oh, my God, I'm so exhausted. I'm so depleted from the purge of emotions. Now, I always challenge that and say, but what's so wrong with that, that your body is saying you're tired, you need a rest? What happens is, because we're so busy and we have this modern life, we actually think that there's something wrong with that, and then that's when it can lead to more darkness and, you know, some really detrimental effects, obviously. And it's happened to me. I mean, I'm a suicide survivor. I thought that I was tired, and I thought, oh, there's no way out of here. I'm going to actually have to go and take my life. No. You're tired. That's a beautiful thing. You're almost like at that blank canvas stage again. Do you know what I mean? And that's what I try somehow to communicate. Hey, you are safe. You are warm. You are loved. You might not see it right now. You might just need to rest for a little while, and that is okay. But you don't need to go anywhere to do that. You can just do it here with us and stay with us. You know, it's so important.
So let's talk about your fashion label, which I love. Oh my God. I remember when you like started posting all the stories on Instagram. I was like, I want that and that and that.
Oh my God.
And I was like, honestly, I was like, have a whole wardrobe full of your line.
Oh, isn't that so beautiful?
So tell me about that. Like, has that been something you've always had a real passion that you wanted to do, or did that just kind of come along the way?
Oh, God, I've always, you know, it's funny. So not a lot of people know this, but I actually did a range of skydive. So I used to be a skydiver, and I did a range of skydiving tops back when, oh, my God, you didn't have digital phones, anything like that. So I had to scan in like an image that I wanted and get a graphic designer to make it. And it was an image of like a piece of equipment for our parachutes. And I took this whole box to a skydiving meet and sold them all out. And I loved it. And it was screen printing, old school screen printing. Yeah. And, you know, I remember having to look up the manufacturer in the yellow pages. Like, it was just so not like what it is now. And so I've always had a hankering to create, and that entrepreneurial spirit. I guess mine to sell, and I love it. Even when I was little, do you know what I used to do? I used to get bath salts and buy them in bulk and pot puree, like rose petals, and then buy chul and get my dad to buy it all, and then I would make little pot puree like bonbons and go around the neighborhood selling them, and I'd hand make scrunchies, I would hand make origami, and I would go around and I would pour these poor three houses. We lived in the bush, so there were like really long distances between. We'd walk around in the hot heat of WA, and there was one lady, she's so gorgeous, she had these two older sons, no daughters, and they had a tennis court. And so we deemed them as rich. Yeah. And so this poor lady got stung for a scrunchie and a freaking bath salt bonbon like every second week. We would just say, do you reckon it's too soon to go back there? Like, you know, because she would always give us 50 cents and like clearly didn't want it. Do you know what I mean? It was just the cutest. I remember that so clearly. And so I think always making something and creating something was always part of me and who I am. Mm. The clothes kind of came because you know, I cannot wear something without hundreds of people asking where it's from. And it's so funny because, you know, I don't have a clothing sponsor. So people think like that I get all my clothes for free. And it's like, no, mate, I fucking pay thousands of dollars. There's no discount. Yeah. Nothing's happening here. But I have to tag everything because it's actually starting to hurt my thumb a lot. Because I try to answer everyone back.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. Anyway, we'll continue on.
And so, it got to the point where it's like, well, I want to make something for my community, just something fun, like a jumpsuit, you know. And so it started from there, and it just went crazy, and it's gotten quite big. I feel like I may want to scale it back a little just because a few months ago it started to take over. And I was like, hang on a second, why am I spending all my days and weeks talking about fashion, the label, all of this? I'm like, I'm not a fashion designer. I'm a presenter. I want a TV show. That's what I want. I want to entertain. I want to eventually do movies. Like, you know, and all of a sudden I'm stuck in a design meeting, you know, 3 days of the week. And worried about, you know, like it's hundreds of thousands of dollars in invoicing and all. And I'm like, fucking hell, like this has just gotten really, really big. And it's great, but it's not actually what I want to do. So get your ego in check, Lou, and understand that you are getting swept away with something that's not 100% your passion. So it's great though, because it's like I said, I work backwards for that problem. All right, let's scale it back. Let's drop one final release in December of some really amazing pieces that I love that I've been working on, and then I'm not doing anything until autumn. And then we can work on something really beautiful, some really key pieces. You know, when it comes to winter time, you can't fuck around with shitty pieces. You need something nice, you know, especially in Melbourne winter. And so, and then again, we'll just keep it really small and just go from there.
I love that you have that awareness, because I think often, especially creative people that like to have a few different things, you know, you're certain that the TV presenting, that's the number one. And you're not now obviously going in this other direction. And sometimes it's so easy to do that. You know, something's working. So it's like, well, it's working. Why would I stop it? But it seems like you're very clear about the direction you want to go in. And you're still doing it. You're still having it, you know. You're still doing both, but it's just in a different way.
Well, yeah, and then that's why we – well, that's why I decided on the pop-up shop party, and everyone thought I was nuts because I thought of that, you know, and launched it, and it went to life in 2 weeks. And I was like, right, I'm having a pop-up shop party. We're going to shoot a runway. We're going to shoot a makeover, and we're going to shoot it all for the finale of the TV show. And, you know, it was just – it was a crazy – when I mean, it almost broke me. Because normally people have teams to do stuff like that. And there was literally just me, a vacant warehouse, you know, my poor e-coms manager, and we got it done. But I probably wouldn't do that again, but it was a way to incorporate everything I love. So community and events, which I love with a passion. You know, events, they're a hard, hard thing to do, but I love them. I'm good at them. The community loves coming out to celebrate, and it's more like a party vibe. That's what I'm known for. And then to incorporate that with the TV series and filming, and then to then bring in 20 cast members, you know, from the community who we casted, who had no idea what they were in for, to give them an experience. Like, they never walked a bloody runway in their life. And then, you know, that day, they're walking a runway in front of 200 people, and that's an experience that they're gonna gonna either change them or spark something, or just a memory. What an amazing memory! And so to combine it all, and that's where I was really grateful for the fashion, because the fashion was the one thing that led the way, and that it was right at that time where it was starting to get me down. I was like, right, I'm going to use the fashion to combine everything else I love, and then I felt like I fell back in love with it again, because I was like, oh, okay, I understand this now. Now I can use it to do the things that I love to do, and to create that community vibe and the fun, and then all the content as well.
So let's talk about your show. And what I love about this story is that, and I guess the digital landscape has changed the way things happen in life, because, you know, in the past it would be there's a very traditional way that you would have a TV show, whereas now yours has come in a very different type of way. What's that experience been like for you?
Oh, it's been amazing.
Yeah.
And I don't think, you know what I love about this? And I'm getting all excited. I'm for everyone at home. I'm like rustling around in my chair, and I've just perked up and I've leant a little closer. So I'm sorry if I'm booming out the mic. What I love about this more than anything else is that everybody else has got to enjoy this ride. Okay. So the traditional media, it's like, you know, some someone's working in media, slogging their ass out for, you know, however long, you never get to see that or appreciate what's happened, and you'll never understand what it's taken to get there. Whereas this, because it's the whole community and me along for this ride, they get to experience as well. So when the show goes to air on a commercial network, they've been cheering that on for 3 years. Yeah. So it's their success as well. So they feel a sense of pride, you know, and that's really cool. Like I love that. I love feeling a sense of pride for someone I don't even bloody know. You know, and you see it on socials all the time. You see someone do something, you're like, oh, fuck, that's really cool. Yeah. Like, you know, and you give them a double tap. Like, you don't actually know them. Do you know what I mean? But you like their stuff or you comment and you go, that's brilliant. And you get a little injection of pride and happiness. And so that's what this show has done, is that it's giving everybody this little lift. And it's seemingly inexpensive. You know, like it's a inexpensive way to feel something beautiful, because we're all quite busy, and the more and more we delve into our phones, and I talk about this a lot, the more we kind of yearn for this human connection. And that's that line there was my very first line for .com Social, which is my first TV show, the live talk show, and that's where I developed everything from. And it's like, okay, I'm obsessed with my phone, I have two phones always on them, love it, but I still love human connection. It's not going to change. It's not going to happen because we're busy. We've got three kids. And I noticed that too. As soon as we have kids, everyone else has kids. No one cares. Like, no one has time.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was like, okay, how can I use this platform? How can I use the phone and get in there? There's someone at the door. Do you mind if I get that?
Pause it.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, I thought, how can we inject little parts of uplifting stories without finger pointing, though? Do you know what I mean? I cannot stand it when someone's like, you gotta do this, you gotta do the work, you gotta, you know, fucking gear up. Like, I can't do the self-help shit. Like, it because it feels like they're really attacking me, and it's like, shit, I'm not doing enough. So how I kind of went about it was that I'll show up, I'll do my stuff, I'll share it with everybody, and then we all get kind of taken on this cool journey. It's like one big long movie. And you know what a movie's like. You leave it feeling pretty bloody good most of the time. And so that's all I want people to walk away, and they just feel good.
And sometimes that's all that people need, you know, just a little bit of injection to be uplifted.
Exactly. They don't need a fucking solution. Like, you know, we don't have the bloody answers. Like, you know, I certainly don't. And so it's I think it's really important that we don't. And sometimes it happens, you know, I'll think I'll have to come up with all these answers. No, I fucking don't. I'm not a sushi master. Do you know what I mean? But the other day I made sushi, and now there's hundreds of women around Australia making fucking sushi in the last 48 hours. Like, I am inundated with pictures of kids going to school with sushi, people making, I mean, massive trays of it. And that makes me so happy, because my sushi wasn't perfect. We can all buy sushi for $4. It's not about that. It's about the fact that we're like, well, fuck, I'm going to give that a go. You know, like, I'm going to get a $2 sushi mat, and holy shit, I just made all this sushi. And it's so cool.
I know I get such a kick because I love food and I love cooking and I love baking. I don't do as much of it that much, but when I do, it gives me that little kick. Like, and especially when it's a recipe that I haven't made, you know, like, I love dessert. So, when I make something that I haven't made before, I'm like, oh, you know, oh, I did that. I know how to do that now, you know, whereas before I didn't.
It's just exactly. Fun. Yeah. It feels fun.
Yeah. Tell me about your cookbook. I'm sure so many people are so excited for this.
Well, I've got the pages here, which I can't share with anyone, which kills me. So the cookbook is phenomenal. It's I'm very excited about it. Pam McMillan and Plum Books are the mothership behind it all. And, well, in saying that, they came to me for a book, and, you know, it was originally going to be kind of like a self-help book. And we're kind of 6 months in, and I just rang, and I'm like, I can't do a fucking self-help book. Like, Jesus Christ. You know, like, I could do a self-help video. And there'd be a lot of swearing, a lot of dancing, a lot of fashion. But that's just my Insta stories. I said, just let's do a cookbook. You know, it's just what I do. It'll be so amazing. We'll incorporate fashion, my tips, all of the amazing recipes that, you know, are on Insta. They're recipes that I've been cooking since I was, like, you know, quite young. And some of them are rough as guts, but they fucking work. And that's what people want. And then I wanted to really incorporate that beautiful imagery, and because people love that, you know. And Pam McMillan and Plum Books are just such beautiful people, and they really are just about letting you come into your own. And so the second outfit. So the first outfit, they said, you know, go and get into something. And I got into this beautiful pink suit because I brought all of the outfits. And they're like, just bring, you know, a few items.
Yeah.
And I brought suitcases, like the whole room, the whole bed. There was just shoes. And they're like, whoa. And I was like, there is an outfit for every single page here.
Yeah.
And then the second outfit, the first one, they were like, they said, oh, you know, just do whatever. And I started to model like I do. And they were like, oh, my God. And so we were just doing all these really cool kind of imagery with my face and stuff. And then the second outfit, they said, oh, get into something casual now. It's just a midweek meal, you know. And I came out in a pair of bathers and, like, a huge bling. And you could see the look on their face like, okay. And I said, trust me. You want to shoot me in this? Give me the food, and so then I got the food, and it was this fierce look, and then it for the next week, because we were shooting there for the week, that second outfit of the day just changed the whole dynamic of the book. It changed the whole design. It changed everything, and then they realized, whoa, okay, we're working with Emmy Lou here.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to, like, it's different, and that's what I loved about them. It was fine.
Yeah,
we just it. I wouldn't say they stepped it up, because they were incredible. Like, it was beautifully styled already.
Yeah.
But then they just realized, okay, there's gonna be a lot of images in this book. There's gonna be a lot of fashion, a lot of outfits, a lot of attitude, and but what I love is that the recipes are just simple, beautiful food.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds so fun. I can't wait to see it
all. Oh, I know. The community is so excited for it.
Yeah, you have such a beautiful community. You can see how engaged everyone is. And they're so, kind of like we were touched on, you know, everyone's so excited for you and they're cheering for you. And then that also translates into when, you know, we each take something away into our own lives. Actually, when you were talking before, this, you might find this funny. I just happened to watch one of your stories one morning. It was the day when you were talking about cooking eggs in a skillet. Was it?
Scrambled eggs.
Anyway, I love eggs, so I eat eggs like pretty much every day.
Yeah.
But you were talking about the pan being really hot and like then getting the spoon.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I was like, oh, doesn't that scratch the pan type thing? Anyway, but since then, every time I do that with, you know, on my pan when I'm making my eggs, I just think of you.
Funny. It does if it's not a cast iron pan.
Yes.
Mine's a cast iron one. Let's just make that clear, guys. Don't get a spoon and start doing your non-stick pan. You'll kill me. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, we've just got a campaign that went out last week. So I got trolled and it was, you know, asking who is Emmy Lou. So the TV show came out and someone got on my Facebook and said, who the fuck is Emmy Lou? Mm. And then some person answered, just a fat chick trying to sell shorts. And I was like, that stung. Mm. Clever. But it stung. And then I thought about that for a couple of days and I was like, who is Emmy Lou? And then I asked my community about it. And then that's when, within 24 hours, we had over 200 stories go live from different people saying, who is Emmy Lou? And one of my favorite ones, it was from people that actually are too nervous to get in front of the camera.
Yeah.
So they sent me stuff. And one lady had done a series of Insta stories where it was just text on you know, the coloured background.
Mm.
And it was like, who is Emmy Lou? Emmy Lou is the reason why I heat up my pan before I make scrambled eggs. Emmy Lou is the reason – what was the other one? Emmy Lou is the reason why I exfoliate my lips with a toothbrush before I put on my red lipstick. Emmy Lou is the reason why I can wear white sneakers with a dress and feel totally cool. And it just went on to these really simple things that I talk about that I probably didn't realize. And it was – I screenshot all of it and I was like, that – means so much to me. Yeah. You know, these simple daily things. And another one was the cutting it, that I'm using kitchen scissors to cut everything in the kitchen. Yeah. Now I just love that.
So funny. Yeah. I know, it's amazing. We have like these such, and not just you, it's like everyone, sometimes you'll see something and then that just creates an impact in another person's life.
Exactly. And it creates a memory and it creates an uplift in your mood. Mm. And if we can fill our days with these beautiful little uplifts and moods, because unfortunately what happens is we are scrolling so much on Insta, and I do it too, and we want this kind of instant validation all the time, and this we want instant solutions all the time. And so sometimes that gets muddled, and when we don't get something instantly, we feel let down by that, you know, and we feel sort of deflated, or we feel a little bit lost. And so if I can just add little uplifts into your day, and if you can find them from other accounts and other ways as well, then it starts to what's the word, sort of combat that a little bit, you know.
Okay, I have two questions and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay.
So these are signature questions I ask each of my guests.
Yeah.
So the first one is, what do you feel is your greatest asset?
Oh, my greatest asset. As in personally?
Yeah.
Like not my Chanel necklace? No, I'm joking. I'd have to say my greatest asset. I was almost going to say communication, but I'm not. I'm actually going to say the art of finding joy in the smallest things. I would have to say that's probably one of my greatest assets, that I've probably always naturally had that one. You know, communication, that takes time, and it can take a skill set that you need to learn, and a few other bits and pieces. But the art of finding joy in the most smallest things has always been something with me from a child, and you know, I'm very, very grateful to have that, because I understand that it's not in everybody.
I love that. I love that, because I ask these questions all the time, and so that is probably one of the most beautiful responses I've had, honestly. And so my last question is there a piece of wisdom that you've acquired through your own experience, or that someone's passed down to you, that you live by?
I definitely have to say is that quote. It's the only quote that I live by, which is, living your dream is hard, not living your dream is hard, choose your hard. That is definitely something, especially over these last few years, that I have adamantly stuck to. I think if I was that and just the fact that nothing happens overnight, nothing at all, you know, and we really do need to understand that. And that's a wisdom that has come slowly but surely with time for me. And I've had plenty of people, mostly adults when I was a kid, say that to me, but I never really understood it. And that one I really understand now, that it takes time. Anything takes time. A baby takes time. Do you know what I mean? To grow inside of you, and it's the exact same thing.
I love that. What a beautiful note to finish our conversation on. Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you.
You're so welcome. Thanks so much for having me.
Pleasure.